I've got good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. They tell me that allergy season is here a month early. Yesterday, the pollen count was high. Nobody laughed. Everybody hates pollen, right? The good news is we have the Word of Jesus Christ before us today. Amen? First of all, I want to tell you I'm not here to take Grant's place. I know some of you are grieving over him leaving, and I'm not here to take his place. I'm not a replacement. I'm not here to try to imitate him. I'm just here to fill in. This is a time that the Lord has given us to move forward, to try to find a new leader for the church, and we all must be seeking his will and not our own. And so having said that, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And we want to look a little bit at the Beatitudes. This is it'd be in the middle of it. If I had to title this, I would say that love is active. I would guess I would even say love is proactive. It is not something that happens just in response to something, even though that's most of the time that is the human response. We reciprocate love. First of all, we may be attracted or we may like something, and then if something is done for us in an affectionate manner, we may do likewise. But that is not what Scripture talks about. That is not how God's love is given, and it's not how His example is given to us. Starting in verse 7, and I'm reading from the New King James, so it will be a little bit different than what's on the screen. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Again, I want to say that love is active. In verses 7 and 8, where He says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you," these are a precursor to verse 12, which is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And number one, it is an address to family, the family of God, to the church. If you go back and look at this, he's given us rules for how we should deal with each other in the Beatitudes. Not just the blessings that he does in chapter 5, but in chapter 6, he's given us rules of how we should live and how we should interact and how we should deal with each other as children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. He's telling us that we should deal with each other in a civil and a kind way. Like in the beginning of chapter 7, he talks about judging. He says, "Judge not that you not be judged." We shouldn't harshly judge one another without first looking at our own lives. It's easy for us to say, "Oh, that's wrong, and you're a sinner. That thing you're doing is terribly wrong," without looking at the things that we do wrong. After all, God says all sin is sin, and He doesn't have a scale of 1 to 10 like we do, or 1 to 1,000. We're all guilty. Each one of us was born with a sinful nature. Each one of us is guilty. Each one of us is bound for hell without the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Without the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, we're all in the same boat. And it's all sinking rapidly. And so, he's telling us in these first two verses that we must be willing to ask, to seek, and to knock, and it'll be open to you. If I have a problem with one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to take it to God. I don't need to complain about it. I don't need to whine about it. And I definitely don't need to go to somebody else and talk about it. I need to take it to the Lord. I need to ask, and it will be given to you. A lot of times we use this verse. This is one of those verses that people love to take out of context. If I need something, I'll go to this verse and say, ask and it'll be given to me. Seek and I'll find it. Knock and it'll be open to me. And the Lord will give it to me. That's not what this verse is about. If you read this chapter, this has nothing to do with giving me anything except a relationship with my brother and sister in Christ. That's what this is about. It's about giving me wisdom to deal with you. It's about giving me wisdom to be able to teach in Sunday school. It's about giving me wisdom to learn to shut my mouth when I talk too much. It's about giving me wisdom to help you through a difficult situation. Because we all face trials. We're all sinners. We all fail. We all have that plank in our eye. We all have problems that come up in our life. We all deal with disease. We all deal with heartache. We all deal with family problems. And it's about seeking God's guidance in those situations. We're all going to deal with the death of a loved one. We're all going to deal with illness in our own lives. At some point in time, we're all going to deal with some or all of these problems because it is appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. None of us is going to be above anybody else. We're all going to leave this earth. This body is going to fail us, and none of us is perfect. We're all going to fail each other. Those of us who like to point fingers at somebody else and say, well, that person, man, well, guess what? This person does too. Every one of us. The finest Christian I've ever known fails. And the worst person I've ever known has good points. What's the old saying? There's good and bad in all of us. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. If you turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, he says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we ask in his will. One of the reasons that we don't get along, one of the reasons that we find we have problems furthering our Christian walk, one of the reasons that we have problems doing the will of God is because we try to do the will of God in our own will. Does that make sense? We try to do the will of God under my power. I try to do the will of God in Alan's way. Well, I think, not, well, God thinks, or, well, that person should have known better. I'm going to go, instead of going and seeking and asking what God would have me do. How many times in Scripture did what God tells somebody to do seem like the most absurd thing you'd ever heard? You know, a week before last, we studied about Gideon and what he told Gideon to do. He was supposed to go up against 130-some thousand men with 300. Now, what kind of idiot would do that? God's idiot would do that. But, you know, most of us, if we'd been in that position, would have said, he's crazy. Give me about 400,000 men and then I'll go. But we want to do things in our own way. We don't ask and seek and knock with the right motives. We ask and seek and knock and say, God, I want you to approve my plan. I come up with this. And then we finagle around and we rationalize and we pick out a scripture passage and not read everything in context. And we say, oop, there it is. God said do it. Right there it is. Those two words out of that one chapter of 10,000 tells me that I'm correct. And I can do this the way I want to. And then when it fails, we don't understand why God failed us. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If we seek with the right motives, he goes on to tell us in verse 9, he says, or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? When your kids get home from school and they want a snack, do you always make them eat broccoli? How many of you mothers out there? Or do you get out some cold asparagus and say, here, I wouldn't want to do that right now. I don't think there's many adults in here who would. God wants the good things for us. If we ask with the right motives, if we ask with His will in mind, He's going to give us good things. He's going to bring the right thing to fruition. In other words, if the results are not what we think they ought to be, then we asked the wrong thing, or we did it with the wrong motive, and we weren't in the will of God. Amen. That's what's happening. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And a lot of times that has to do with pride, because we want to see it done our way. And he tells us in his word that if we want to follow him, that we have to do away with self, that we have to die to self, that we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. That's hard to do. I'm a selfish person. I'm a mechanic, and I love to put rear ends in. I put mine in my recliner every day. That's my favorite job. I'm a selfish person. I like to sit there with a remote and a cold drink, and that's what I like to do. But that's not God's plan. We're all selfish. We want everything done our way, but that's not God's plan. We need to be submissive to His will. To His will. In James chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, he says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, who is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I really need to read all of that. Go back to verse 6 or verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He gives to all liberally. In Baptist Men a week or so ago, we talked about this. We all say that we can't understand Scripture. Well, this didn't make any sense. And we talked about it Wednesday night when we started Revelation, which, by the way, we just barely scratched an introduction to that. So if you didn't come, come on out Wednesday night. I'm advertising, I know, but the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that says you'll receive a blessing from studying and hearing the Word. But everybody says it's too hard. And Jesus says if we will pray, the Holy Spirit will give us an understanding. We can't understand it on our own, but we got to pray about it. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom, to give us the insight, to give us the understanding. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. He's not going to give you a cracker with just enough peanut butter that'll barely hold two of them together. He's going to give it to you with that much in between, so that you can barely get it down. You got to have a half a gallon of water to eat that cracker. Some of you young people don't really understand what I'm talking about. I'm old school, where we made our own peanut butter crackers. You didn't buy them at the store, you know. But he gives it liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. If we ask in his will, ask with confidence, ask with boldness. Ask and you will receive. That's what verse 8 says. Verses 9 through 11, it's God's pattern. God is going to give us, he's going to give it to you liberally. He's going to give it to you. It's going to be good. That's his pattern. That's what we are supposed to be doing with each other. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus, he said, give till it hurts. If he asks for you coat. Give him your coat and your overcoat too. Give him your shirt and your coat and your overcoat. If he asks you to walk a mile with him, walk 2 miles with him. Give more than what they ask. You can't outgive God. We always use 10%, the tithe, as a standard for what we give back to God. Let me tell you, you may think, well, I can't afford that. I can't afford 10%. My bills are more than I can pay now. Sometimes when you think you can't pay that, pay 10% of your check, your paycheck. Give it back to God and see what happens to your income. It will increase exponentially. Don't give grudgingly. Give with a joyful heart. Because you can't outgive God. If you give with the right motives, He will give back to you tenfold. He always does. I've seen it more than once in my own life. When me and Kathy first started out, we didn't know where we were going to get the money to pay a bill, and yet we continued to tithe, and money would just, and it doesn't make sense, but it would show up, and you have the money you need. It's one of the best ways that I know to see God in action supernaturally, and you don't even realize how it works. And yet we don't take it on faith. We don't ask. We don't receive on faith because our faith is limited. It's like what Amanda was teaching these kids. If we can't see it, we don't believe it. And some of us are mature Christians and we still operate that way, or we think we are mature Christians and we still operate that way. If I can't see it, it obviously can't be true. But it's God's pattern. Look at Ephesians 5:12. In Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore be imitators of God. Think about that. How often in our walk this week would somebody say that you or me are an imitator of God? I might be accused of being an imitator of somebody else, but it wouldn't be God. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We need to think of ourselves as a sacrifice. If we start thinking of ourselves as a sacrifice to God, an imitator of God, we are a sacrifice. Taking up our cross and walking daily, we're going to start doing things for other people. We're going to start thinking about self so much. We're going to start seeking His will and the way to handle these crises that come up in our life. We're going to start serving each other more. And not just the people in this room. I'm talking about serving the people outside these four walls, because after all, we come in here to worship. We come in here to lift each other up. We come in here to share each other's burdens, but we depart these four walls to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. That's why Jesus wants us to still be here in the first place, because we haven't shared the gospel with everyone who's going to be saved yet. Do unto others. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, what do you want people to do to you? How do you want to be treated? How do you want your children to be treated? For those of you who have children, that's a litmus test right there. However you want your children or your child or your parents to be treated, do that to the people that you're thinking about. To the person to your left or to your right. To the person that you encounter at the restaurant that you're going to in a few minutes. At your job in the morning when you go to work. A real challenge for me would be the telemarketer that calls me this afternoon about 4:00. That's one of the things that really bugs me. This word is truth. If you believe this word is truth, if you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was raised on the third day, and that grace has been extended to you and you are a child of God, then you have to believe that this is a command for you. Whatever we want from men for our loved ones and ourselves, then we are to do that for them. That's why we have all the different ministries in our church. That's why we are to share our burdens with one another. And that's why we are to reach out. We are to witness to a lost and dying world. Because one of the greatest commands that we have from God is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. When's the last time you witnessed to someone? I'm not talking about in the setting in Awanas. I'm not talking about in the setting of Sunday school or Baptist men or Baptist women or whatever. I'm talking about witnessing outside these four walls. When is the last time you did that? There's a lot of folks who aren't with us this morning, and since we're going through this change, there's some people who have chosen not to be here. Have you called them? Have you talked to them? Have you invited them to be back here? Or have you just gone over the same old things about why things are like they are? That's not going to help anything. That's just going to rub things the wrong way. We have to move forward now. We need everybody here. Paul says in his word that this is a body of Christ. Each person is brought here for a purpose. Each person fits together like a piece of a puzzle. And that we all have a purpose in being here. We need to reach out to everybody. We need to come together and not scatter apart. If Christ were here this morning, what would he say? He would say that we were to do what he would do. In Matthew 22:39, one of the Pharisees had just asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, in verse 38, Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. 37, excuse me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. 2 Peter 3:9. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, which is an older word meaning very patient, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what we're all supposed to be about. We need to draw together, we need to focus on God's purpose for us, and we need to move forward. If you're here today and you need to talk to Christ about anything in your life, if you need to come and seek some wisdom, don't worry about what anybody in this room thinks, because in this sanctuary, everybody needs to seek wisdom. Every one of us. We can study this book from the day we're born to the day that we draw our last breath, and none of us will ever understand it all. We need more wisdom every day. We need to draw closer to Christ every day, every one of us. If you're here and you just want to talk about anything, I'm available. You don't have to talk to me. The deacons are here. There's a lot of people you can talk to. There are some very wise people here, but we need to draw together in a mighty way. I have searched for a long time, praying to the Holy Spirit to lead me what he would have us to hear today. And nothing was right. Everything I studied came to naught. And I don't know how to explain that to you, except you can study and study and study, and all you get is a numb brain. Till I came to this passage, and the Spirit told me this was it. I love every one of you. I love this church. I love the ones who aren't here. And I pray that we can come together as a unified body, which is what we are taught in Scripture, and move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. As Kathy and Alex come, we'll have a hymn of invitation. If you need to come to the altar, this, I always tell people, and you've probably heard me say it, this is not Cornerstone's altar right here. It's in Cornerstone Church, but this is God's altar. Wherever people went in the Old Testament, all the patriarchs, whenever they wanted to get in touch with God, they built an altar. Whenever they wanted to praise God, they built an altar. And yeah, you can pray to Him standing right there in the pew, but if you really want to get personal about it, come to the altar. That's what it's for.